hiring is really challenging. I know from experience, but I also know there is one place that you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates, and that place is ZipRecruiter.com/clones. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As the applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site within the very first day. With results like that, it is no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/clones. ZipRecruiter.com/clones, C-L-O-N-E-S. ZipRecruiter.com/clones. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I was anxious to get to this third hour, and this is why. It's going to be a very, very good one. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, live in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Pumped up because we are talking college football. Utah head football coach Kyle Whittingham joins me next segment. Paul Christ, the Wisconsin head football coach, is going to close this show about 35 minutes from right now. In the meantime, it is your last chance to get through 1-800-636-8686. I did say last hour that I'm looking for a podcast guest for next week, Jim Rome Podcast. So if you have any ideas or if there's somebody you want to hear on the podcast, hit me up or hit Adam Hawk, my EP on Twitter. Either one of us or both of us. Or in the case of this guy, he emailed, Rome, I am friends with Angels legend Tim Mead. Let me know if you want to have him on the podcast and I can set that up. Thanks, John in Huntington Beach. Thanks, John. I might. My man Tim Mead's got stories for days. He might be it. Johnny Got Fat tweets. Podcast guest. Janet Rome or Jason Bourne? Bourne would be easier to book. Bourne would do it before my wife would. Remember, I have done this show for nearly 30 decades. Janet and I have been married for more than 20 years. She has come on the show once. Once. She's not coming on. She'll put the kids on. I mean, she'll do anything but that. Literally, she'll do anything I need except that. She's not coming on. Bourne would come on before her. Anybody else? Now, I'm being serious now. Is there somebody in a long-form interview? You've heard my podcast. We're 46 episodes in. Is there somebody you want to hear? Hit us up. Tweet at me. Tweet at Hawk. I want your ideas. So Kyle Whittingham is coming up next segment. First things first. You know, last night could have been DEFCON 1 in Los Angeles, if not for Brian Dozier driving in the winning run in the bottom of the 12th. Because for the sixth game in a row, that Dodger bullpen absolutely wrecked a game for the squad. This time they gagged away a 3-0 lead in the eighth. And there was not anybody from the 818 down to the 949 who thought the Dodgers were going to duck the broom that the Giants were trying to crack over their skulls. But somehow they did. The losing streak is over. But not before the pen eviscerated another lead, and not before the Dodgers finished the series without that top spot in the NL West. But it's over. Now, I'll tell you what's not. I'll tell you what's not over. Takes on that scrap. The Yasiel Puig started back in game two. That was way back on Tuesday. If you missed it, he sparked a benches clearing brawl. Well, if you can call it that, after he and Nick Hundley got into it behind the plate.
The pitch is fouled to the backstop. He kind of hung a changeup. Puig's upset at himself. That pitch was right out over the plate. And Puig, after he finished his follow-through, and Hundley's upset at Puig. Puig's in Hundley's face. I think Hundley's ticked off. And now Puig is pushing him. He threw a punch. Tony Watson now down. Puig takes the helmet off. Hundley's trying to go after it. Here comes Puig. He throws another punch. Pence running in, and everybody's off the benches. We got a legitimate fight going on. Hundley gets wrestled away. He is hot, and I don't blame him. Puig pulled away from the pile. Everybody else is trying to be calm. Kike Hernandez, though, and Bumgarner are going at it. And you know Bumgarner's going to be in the middle of it. Well, Hundley did not like the reaction from Puig.
Thanks to Drowning Pool. Giants Radio. So why am I doubling back? Why am I going all the way back to something that happened on Tuesday? What's new about that? Well, what's new about that is Andrew McCutchen went on Instagram yesterday and he laid the whole thing out from his perspective after I got off the air. And his perspective, his point of view was from the outfield. And it's definitely worth hearing because it's hilarious. Check out my man.
I know y'all probably want to know about that brawl last night. So I'm going to talk about it. I was in right field chilling, probably thinking about, you know, my last at bat, or how that pitch was outside and called it a strike and it should have been a walk. But we ain't going to talk about that, right? So I'm looking down at my feet. And they say, you know, I hear the fans. I'm like, what are they? What's going on? So I look up. Puig and Hundley, they going at it. Next thing you know, I feel a breeze, kind of feel like a light tornado just going right by me. It's the bullpen. I'm like, dang. By the time I got there, we was all just chilling, staring at each other. Literally, I thought about brightening the mood, and I was just going to get in a karate pose. Like, come on. But I ain't do it. And that was it. That's basically most brawls, for outfielders anyway. But by the time you get there, it's over. So you just ran and got tired. In an outfield during a brawl is equivalent to a little kid showing up to a birthday party late. It's like you coming in all excited, and they already wet, and they eating cake.
Man, that's so good. There's so much to love about that. And if social media is horrible for so many reasons, it's awesome for that. Awesome because McCutchen can just roll tape in his hotel and mass blast out that take on that scrap from Tuesday night. And who didn't want to hear that? That's a 10-year vet, a great player, just straight clowning. I love that part where he said, by the time I got there, we were all just chilling, staring at each other. I thought about brightening the mood by getting into a karate pose, but I didn't do it. And that was it. That's basically most brawls. For outfielders, anyway. For outfielders. You mean for everybody, right, Kutch? Rarely do these things pop off as anything memorable. Rarely does Pedro chuck an old man to the ground by his head. Rarely does Nolan Ryan put Robin Ventura into a buzzsaw. Rarely does a middle infielder cold cock Joey Bats into the 300 level. It's normally just this hug fest with a bunch of hold me back bros yelling, you want to go? You want to go? I mean, one thing for me to say that from this chair behind this mic, but entirely another for a major league outfielder talking about wanting to strike up a karate pose to lighten up the mood. It shows you exactly how concerned he was with what things might become. Give me the days of Carlos Zambrano taking off his belt, or my man A.J. Pierzynski getting leveled by a Michael Barrett haymaker, or don't give me anything at all. If you're just coming out to hug and yell and be held back, then save Kutch that jog in. Because like he said, all you do is run in only to get tired and everybody's already wet and they've already had their cake. And he's just left sucking air. And I think he probably speaks for everybody else who gets there 2 seconds too late. Much ado about nothing at all, and finally a guy who's experienced it several times is saying it for the record. Here is moving my man to first base so he can finally get in there with some karate moves and get a piece of cake before everybody is all wet. Finally, there's some good use for social media. Finally, a guy saying how it exactly is, how it really, really is. It's good stuff right there. Really good stuff. All right, quickly, let's go to the phones. I've got Kyle Whittingham coming up in a few minutes. We go to Wichita, Kansas. Keith, nice to have you on. Keith, how are you? What's up?
Hey, I'm still reeling about that Jalen Ramsey thing. You know, he's talking about some great football players, and he's a good football player, don't get me wrong, but he just needs to shut his mouth until he gets to a Super Bowl. He's saying way too much. He just needs to shut up and play football.
All right, Keith, I appreciate that, and I could not agree any less with you. I love that that guy's running his mouth. First of all, he is a great football player. Literally. He's a great football player. He's a great NFL player. He's already one of the best at his position. He is a great player, period. Number two, the last thing I want is for this guy to, quote, shut his mouth and play football. This is exactly what the NFL needs. This is exactly what team content needs. Man, I love this. I love that this guy is not afraid to say exactly what's on his mind because nobody will. Nobody will, and he's got the game to back it up, and I think it's awesome. Lava, fire, whatever you want to call it. Hate it, love it. This guy's awesome. I mentioned earlier, I don't have a dog in this fight. I do have a dog in this fight. Jalen Ramsey. Who does that? This guy literally ran down every single quarterback in the NFL. And let's be fair about one more thing. He didn't light everybody up. He lit some suckers up, without question. But he gave guys credit. Brady, Breeze, Rodgers. But then again, what was he going to say about those guys? I mean, do you really have a problem with this guy saying Josh Allen is trash? Do you really have a problem with him saying Joe Flacco sucks twice? Do you have a problem with him saying Eli Manning is not that good anymore?
Who?
Odell Beckham is. But what's good is their connection. I don't know. Doesn't bother me at all. In fact, I love it. This is the rare dude. I mean, every league, professional league, has got one or two of these guys, if we're lucky. Some don't have any at all. There's your guy, Jalen Ramsey. Put that big bullseye on his back. I mean, you're going to tell me that you didn't care? Maybe before you didn't care so much about Jacksonville, Buffalo. I do now. I can't wait to see them play. And I hope Josh Allen is their starting quarterback when it happens. I love it. Caleb in Green Bay tweets, typical millennial. Jalen Ramsey must not have seen the two Super Bowls that Eli won without Odell. And with Mario Manningham and David Tyree, Eli's not what he used to be, but damn, Jalen, fire up YouTube. That's fair. They'll also run into each other. I love that he's lighting guys up that he is going to meet on the field. So we're going to see what's going to happen. Why would you have a problem with that? I love the guy said it, but I'm all about team content. And Hitman Canadian tweets, first your face, now your voice. Stop impersonating us, Eli. Sincerely, Owls.
Who?
First your face Who? And now your voice. Stop impersonating us, Eli.
Who? Who?
Rome. I was always the first kid at the birthday party. I was not going to miss the cake. Good call, Kutch. Yours, Dane Cooks with lard. Aaron in Omaha. I've gotten 800 variations of that, Aaron. And notice I've not read any of them. Still not a topic, still not going there, but where I will go is to a quick break, and when I come back, the head football coach of the Utah Utes, Kyle Whittingham, is my guest. That's coming up next. I'm going to chase that with Wisconsin head football coach Paul Christ. Man, you had your chance. You had your chance and your opportunity, and you wasted it. Good news is we are talking college football when we come back. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Like I said, we are talking college football this hour. Coming up next segment, the head coach of Wisconsin, Paul Christ, will be joining us. I am Jim Rome, but as I promised, we're joined right now by the head football coach at the University of Utah. He is in his 14th season as head coach. He was the 2008 National Coach of the Year, 11-1 in bowl games. That is the best bowl winning percentage in NCAA history. Utah is going to open up on August 30th. We are joined right now by Utes head coach Kyle Whittingham. Kyle, so good to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
Appreciate it, Jim. Doing great. Thank you.
Good, Kyle. Thank you. So we're 2 weeks out from kickoff. How are you feeling right about now? Are you excited to get things underway, or is there always that feeling that, you know, a little bit more time would be nice?
Well, you know, we've had a great camp so far. We're right at the halfway point. We play in 2 weeks from tonight, and I'd say where we are at this point in time, we feel good about, but we certainly can use the last couple of weeks here of preparation. But we got a lot going for us. I'm pretty excited about this team.
Kyle Whittingham, my guest. All right, so in terms of the team, you've got 13 seniors, but I haven't heard you say anything but or anything about a lack of leadership. If anything, you've been really high on the leadership in that locker room. How do you explain the impact of that leadership, even if it's not from a huge senior class?
Yeah, you're right. We've got actually we only got 12 seniors and scholarship seniors, and that's the lowest amount since I've been here at Utah. And I've been here 25 years, so that's a while. But those seniors that are here, you know, those dozen guys are doing a great job at taking charge, and that started way back in January. That it was very evident early on when we got into the winter conditioning that these guys were a special group, and they've been great leaders throughout the entire time.
Kyle Whittingham, my guest. Your quarterback, Tyler Huntley, accounted for 3,000 yards and 21 touchdowns in the air and on the ground last season. But how different is he now as a quarterback than he was at this time last year?
Well, he's more polished, more experienced. You know, last year was his first opportunity to start as a true sophomore, and did a nice job for us. He got banged up a little bit, and you know, some of his off-season things that he needed to accomplish was, number one, get a little bigger and stronger, which he's done, and number two, be a little more judicious how he, you know, in his decision making and not willing to take so many hit, you know, so many shots. He took way too many shots last year, and he needs to be able to get out of harm's way a little bit and understand that it's better to maybe avoid a hit and you know, live to play another snap than you know, trying to run through a 240-pound linebacker.
Yeah, that's part of the process, right? He's got to learn that. But at the same time, I've heard you call him as fierce a competitor as you've ever been around. That's really, really high praise. How would you describe that competitive fire? And in that regard, what separates him from some of the other really competitive guys you've had?
Well, he's just got a burning desire to win. He's on the field. He's got that field general mentality that you look for in a quarterback, and he makes everyone around him better. And that's really, to me, the mark of a great player, is a guy that can make everyone around him play at a higher level. And he's very demanding of himself and of his teammates, but in a positive way. You know, he's not he's very constructive, and he's when he's in the huddle, you know, he's got everybody's attention. There's no doubt about it.
Utah head football coach Kyle Whittingham, my guest. You know, we're talking about growth. And as long as we're talking about growth, let me take a moment and discuss Nick Ford. Now, I mention him because legend has it that as a high school freshman, he was 5'8", 160. 5 years later, Kyle, he's 6'5", 320. I mean, first of all, how is that even possible? How do you explain something like that? Is that true?
Well, if unless he's pulling my leg, it's true. You know, I didn't know him back then, obviously, but when we recruited him, we heard that story that he was a late bloomer, and he's every bit of 6'5" now, and you know, 320 pounds, and he's going to play a lot of football for us this fall, if not be a starter as a redshirt freshman. But he's a specimen now. He's got all the tools to play an offensive line. And we brought him in as a D lineman, moved him early on over to the other side of the ball, and it appears to be a great fit for him.
And listen, it would be impossible to expect somebody of that size to maintain. I mean, I could see where they might have some agility and some speed of 5'8", but how do you like this guy's speed and agility and grace for somebody who's 6'5", 320?
It's impressive. It's impressive, and that's why I think he's going to be, you know, become an outstanding player for us. He's got the quick feet. He's got the agility and balance, and he can recover. And he's the whole package. Like I said, the only thing he doesn't have right now is experience.
We're talking to Utah head football coach Kyle Whittingham. You know, you're entering your 14th season as head coach. And I bring that up because college football is a tough, tough job. It's nearly impossible to stay in the same place as long as you have and have the kind of success that you've had. So what does that number, 14 seasons, represent to you?
Well, first of all, I can't believe it. You know, it seems like it's gone by so quickly. But what it really speaks to, Jim, is the good players that we've had come through here. A coach doesn't last that long without a lot of good players. And college football is all about recruiting, and we've been fortunate to have a bunch of guys come through this program that are talented kids that are very dedicated and committed to what we're doing. And we have a lot of guys in the NFL to show for that. I think we have 32 guys on NFL rosters right now. And so, that's really the bottom line is to get the players in here. They have the raw material that you're looking for and develop them. That's our formula anyway for success.
You know, formula for success. That's interesting. It seems to me you have to change, you have to adapt, and you've got to be kind of nimble. But at the same time, you can't run that kind of program and have that kind of success without having a really clear sense of your identity for your program. So how would you describe the program's identity? And what do you think people think of when they think of Utah football?
Well, hopefully it's a hard-nosed, blue-collar outfit that, you know, comes to play every single week, and you're going to get the full 60 minutes from our guys. You know, and no matter what happens, you know, regardless of the score or the outcome, you're going to, you know, you've been in a physical contest, and like I said, we're going to fight you for the whole 60.
Let me ask you this. The game changes, the game evolves, and there's been more and more talk, for instance, Kyle, about the possibility of traditional kickoffs being phased out of the game. What do you think when you hear that? What's your reaction?
Well, I'm a special teams guy, and I don't like that, you know, from a schematic standpoint, because I love the strategy involved, you know, in kickoff and kickoff return. And but, you know, as I say that, at the same time, if it's, you know, if it's going to be a safety factor for the players and make it a safer game for them and eliminate injuries, then I'm all for it. But just from an X and O standpoint, you know, I hate to see it go away, but I think that's the direction it's headed. In fact, I don't think there's any question that the kickoff will be, you know, not part of the game in the next few years.
Utah's going to open up on August 30th, so time's coming pretty quickly. Kyle Whittingham, our guest. Kyle, great to run you down. Always good to have you on this show. Thanks so much.
Okay,
good luck to you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Kyle, have a great day. Appreciate you and the relationship. Talking some college football. All right, 1-800-636-8686. That's a really good coach. 14 years there. And I agree with him. It's hard to imagine that already 14 years have gone by. Some Pac-12 football. Wisconsin head football coach Paul Christ is going to be joining me in our next segment. All right, so a couple of quick things. One, this segment's brought to you by Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil. It is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That, according to the test, the Kurt Orban test. Kurt Orban. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Once again, sincerely, hit me up on Twitter. Hit Adam Hawk up on Twitter. I've got a podcast. I mean, I'm just trying to bring you in. We don't need your help. That podcast isn't dropping until next Tuesday. I've got all the time in the world. I'm just trying to involve you in the process. Is there somebody that you would like to hear? Not Jason Bourne, not Janet Rome. Is there somebody that you would like to hear that you know would be good in that long form? Hit us up on Twitter. I'm looking for your ideas. This guy's got one. This actually is a very good idea. James Carefoot, podcast guest, Jay freaking Cutler. Not the easiest turn, but a very good idea. I haven't talked to him since way back in the day when he played for the Broncos early in his career. Yeah, I thought the guy was great. Only had him on TV once, I think, maybe twice, but did a great interview. And now he's back on TV on his wife's reality show, and he's just ripping that show, stealing that show. Good idea. James, I'll put that into the hopper, and we'll see if we can turn him. I'm not optimistic, but I'll see if I can. Anybody else? Who would you like to hear?
John Elway.
Elway would be a good guest.
Andrew Jones.
Andrew Jones would be a good guest. What else
Jiminy
you got, Alvin?
Cricket.
Who?
Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket would be a good podcast guest.
Henry Winkler.
Oh, the Fonz would be the best. That's
Hugh
not even a joke.
Jackman!
Who?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman would be good. Let's make some money. All right, so that's just to get Senator Trent.
DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray would be good.
Jason Avant.
These are all good ideas to get you started. Who would you like to hear on the Jim Rome podcast next week?
Pedro Guerrero.
That's not a very good idea. Oge or Pedro? Pedro Guerrero.
George Clooney.
George Clooney would be great.
Charles Oakley.
Charles Oakley would be good.
Bill LeGoe.
Who?
Bill LeGoe.
Bill Belichick, the GOAT.
Bill the GOAT.
Thanks, Bob. Bob the GOAT.
Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon is always a good guest.
Jim Rome.
I could interview myself.
Louis Slungpew.
I'm not talking to Louis. I like it. Alvin, way to go.
Rogan Loam.
Rogan Loam is not doing the podcast. All right, then. There are some ideas to get you started. Who would you like to hear? Alvin's got more of those, I'm sure. When we come back, we're talking about my favorite state, Wisconsin. Paul Christ, head football coach of the Badgers, joins me next. Huge call coming up a little bit later on this segment. Make sure you check that. Brought to you by Barbasol Razors. After 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol is finally making razors. And that to me is a no-brainer. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus. Six ultra-thin blades. Save right now at Barbasol.com. Fresh off one of the best weeks of our entire lives in the state of Wisconsin. I'm going to continue my conversation about that state, the football program, high expectations for the Badgers. We are efforting head football coach Paul Christ, and we'll turn that around momentarily. If you missed the earlier parts of the program, we talked about Ronald Acuna. This guy's a star, straight up star. Since getting called up at the end of April, this guy's done nothing but rake. We hit on that. All right, so let me transition. As I mentioned, one of the great weeks of our entire life. We spent on vacation in Wisconsin a couple of weeks back. I'm still talking about it. We had that much fun. We are joined right now by the head football coach at Wisconsin. He is a two-time Big Ten Coach of the Year, 34-7 in three seasons as head coach. Third coach in Big Ten history with double-digit wins in each of his first three seasons. He has led the Badgers to a pair of Big Ten West titles, three bowl wins. Wisconsin is number seven in the coaches' poll. They open up their season against Western Kentucky on August 31st. Paul Christ is my guest. Paul, it is so good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, I'm doing well.
Paul, it was tremendous to see you a few weeks back, and I really do appreciate you taking some time out of your day to sit with me and my family. Bring me up to date. How you doing? How has camp gone since then?
Well, first of all, it was I appreciate you taking the time. It was great having you around, and obviously you got a beautiful family, and so we appreciate that. But camp's been good. It's I think we just finished our 13th practice, and appreciate the way that guys are going about it and working, and the season will be here soon. But it's a fun group of guys to be around, and I think they like playing, and they certainly like each other, and so just trying to make sure we finish out this phase of preparation and get ourselves as ready as we can for the season. But it's been good so far.
Paul Christ, my guest, and let me just say one more time, my family loved meeting you, and thanks for having us in there. Listen, there's a lot of buzz around the team right now and the feeling that this might be something special this year. When you see that reaction, when you see the buzz, when you see your offensive line on the cover of Sports Illustrated, is this something you like and you want to embrace, or is there a part of you that maybe just kind of wants to push it aside?
Well, I think that there's I like those are neat experiences, and you know, you never want to kind of rain on their parade. And yet at the same time, none of that matters, you know, as far as what it means for this season. So I think, you know, I'd be more concerned if the players and didn't feel like the team knows that it doesn't just happen and you got to focus on, you know, each day. But as far as, you know, it's like when you play in big games, you want them to enjoy that and appreciate it. Not everyone gets those opportunities, and yet you want them to kind of stay focused on whatever that task is at hand. And I think that's the way that you can maximize and enjoy those opportunities. And so I think our players have done a good job, and we need to continue to, you know, whatever happens, just be in that moment. And so, you know, like I said, as long as they understand that that means nothing, it doesn't give them anything. But it is cool. I mean, and you want them to appreciate that, and certainly what they've done in the past has earned some of this recognition, but none of that carries forward. And as long as they understand that, then it's all good.
And I know you made that clear to them, and it is cool. It's cool to get that kind of run. You know, it's not surprising that the offensive line would be on the cover of SI, but, Paul, from where I'm sitting, this team is much more than just about that great offensive line and a power running game. There's a lot of talent at the skill positions, especially wide receiver. As an example, how excited do you get when you look at the potential of that group?
No, I do think that, you know, last year, I think they kind of grew up as receivers, and so they know that, you know, one of the best things about having a good running game is, you know, if you can be good in running the ball, then you're going to get more one-on-ones. And so the thing that I appreciate from the group is they know that it takes everyone, and, you know, you don't have to look further than, I don't think we have, you know, last year we have the recognition with our line if we don't have Jonathan. And the same thing, I don't think Jonathan has the season he has without really the O-line and everyone else. So I think they all understand that they need each other, and we're best when everyone is doing their best.
You know, Paul, I'm looking at this, and I read part of your resume off the very top, and I could have gone on, but it really speaks to what you've been able to accomplish in a very short time as head coach at Wisconsin. When you look back to your return to Madison, did you know that you could get this thing moving as quickly as it has, as quickly as you have, that you could get to this level this quickly?
You know, you never quite know what's to come, what's around the bend, and yet, you know, when I was here, offense coordinator, and you know, I was at Pitt for 3 years, and we had really good teams, and had some, you know, chance for runs the year we, you know, 2012 we got Russell, and we lose two games by Hail Marys, and otherwise that could have been different. I think, you know, Wisconsin's always had the opportunity to be in it, and you got to make plays to win certain games, but you never quite know what's to come, and really, quite honestly, you just want to focus on making sure that, you know, the team that year becomes the best team they can be, and at the end of the year, you look up and see what it was.
Listen, I hear what you're saying. You want to focus on the team in a given year. The last thing you want to focus on is you. But there are some moments from your journey that are just too remarkable not to share. As an example, you were an intern with Mike Riley and the San Antonio Riders in the World League of American Football. At that time, you were making a couple of grand a month. And I'll bring that up for a reason a little bit later on. But a couple of grand a month, you shared an apartment, you shared a car with another assistant. What were those days like?
Honestly, they were great. You know, I mean, it was... That still may be one of the best jobs I've ever had. And, you know, I was really fortunate to get connected with Mike, and certainly he was huge in the rest of my career and to this day. And yet I've been really fortunate, the opportunities that I've gotten and to be with, you know, so many different people, whether it's other great coaches and players that you learn so much from. And so I've truly been fortunate. And yet that one job, it was a great job.
You know, Mike Riley talks about the fact that when you were working with the players, you built, quote, a beautiful player-coach relationship that was based on respect, end quote. From the outside, it seems like that's something that's been the hallmark of your coaching style. How important is it that those relationships are built on respect instead of fear or intimidation or something else?
I think it's everything, and it's that's what makes, you know, for me, coming to work every day, it doesn't feel like work, and I've always felt that if you could really, you're doing your best as a coach, is if you can help them achieve more than maybe what they thought they could do, and help guide them. And like I said, there's as many, I've learned as much from players as I've probably shared with them, and so, you know, we get the game of football that kind of brings us together and connects us, but if all you had at the end was a game of football, it'd be pretty shallow. And so, again, I think I've been fortunate to be with so many really good people, and then get to do it through the game of football. I've been lucky.
Paul Chris, my guest for a few more moments. You know, I mentioned that money because you, at that time, Don Nalen, the West Virginia legend, told The Athletic, quote, Paul is no phony. He's not in it for the money. He would have coached Wisconsin for probably a buck and a half. So, I mean, maybe not a buck and a half, but maybe, right? What is it about football, coaching football, and in particular coaching football at Wisconsin, that you love so much?
You know, I just think that it's love the, you know, you certainly love and appreciate the game, but I think more so you appreciate, you know, all that the game brings, and you know, there's a competitiveness to it, and you know, I think other sports have it, but I think football is really unique in that, you know, people that play it truly love playing the game, and it stresses you, and it's an ultimate team game, and so I think, you know, those are kind of some foundational pieces that just make it fun, and then, you know, you get to be around a lot of different guys and different backgrounds, and yet coming together, there's something about the whole makeup that's special. And that's why I want to make sure that, you know, you want to show your appreciation, I think, by doing your best job you can, and to keep it, you know, a great game.
So finally, let me say this, and I'm saying this not because you're here or because you were so gracious with us, but before my family and I went to Wisconsin and came to visit Madison, I had heard so much hype and there was so much love for the state and for the school that I kept telling myself and my family, man, you got to check your expectations because nothing ever lives up to the hype, Paul, except Madison and the University of Wisconsin not only lived up to it, it exceeded it. What do you remember about the first time you set foot on that campus?
Well, it was I was fortunate because I grew up in Madison. But really, when I had left for high school and then came back, and it's beautiful. First of all, with the setting right on the lake, and it's definitely a big enough town that there's different things to do, but you definitely have a college feel to it, and there's an energy. There's an energy around here, and even in the summer, it's a good summer place. So there's kind of it's alive, and in the winter we get snow and it gets cold, but it's still people kind of embrace it and they enjoy it. And so I think there's a good balance of it offers a lot, but I think what makes it special is people.
You're used to recruiting, but I'm kind of recruiting you. I'm trying to convince you. So a last thought, we did come in the summer and it's beautiful and it's right off the lake and the campus is just astonishing. What's a game day like on Saturday?
Game days are good. They're again, it's, it's in the fall, it's the Packers on Sunday and Camp Randall and Madison on game day and people, it's an event and we've been fortunate. We've had great support and, it really is. It's been special, and you never take it for granted. I've been lucky. I've been around it for a long time, but it never gets old, and you appreciate that. And I think, as a team, we talk about all the time, the best way we can show thanks is doing the best we can and playing the game the right way.
They're number 7 in the coaches' poll. It opens up against Western Kentucky on August 31st. Paul, once again, thank you so much. It was so great to see you and spend some time in the facility. Thank you very much. Always good to have you on the show, Paul. Talk again soon, I hope.
It was awesome seeing you, Jim. Thanks.
Thank you, Coach. Great talking to you, Paul Christ. And you can see why he's had the success that he's had, and a lot of it quickly, 34-7, three seasons as head coach there. And you're probably thinking to yourself, damn, Rome. Push away from the state of Wisconsin, man. What's up? You're gushing. I know. We loved it. Now, again, Janet and Jake have done the college tours. I've only jumped on a couple of them. They've done the majority of them. They loved a lot of other stops. They love Stanford. They love Notre Dame. Jake loves Northwestern. But as a family, we went to Wisconsin, and we all loved it. The campus is beautiful. Athletic facilities, beautiful. It checks a lot of boxes. Wisconsin is on the short list. And I got to check with my boy, but it might be number one. But I got to check with my boy. Anyway, my thanks to Wisconsin. And that was a great tour. That was a lot of fun. All right, we are not done yet. You can still get through. 1-800-636-8686. I'm trying. Jennifer is still one of my favorite viral tweets of all time. We hit on Jalen Ramsey. We talked about Ronald Acuna. Man, I'm out of time, Alvin. Rah, too bad, clones. I really was going to get to Dane Cook, I swear. But we're out of time. Instead, we go to the huge call.
I just want to say, baseball needs to get their head out the sand. This is why don't nobody care about the game anymore. And for simply speaking for the black community, this is for simply why black kids aren't interested in baseball no more. Who wants to play? Baseball's the only game I know where if you do something good, you can't celebrate or you get penalized for it. A guy hits a home run, and I swear, Jim, it seems like he's running faster and faster around those bases. It used to be a fast trot. Now it's a 100-yard dash with their head down. Why? When that guy tipped that bat from Toronto, everybody in the neighborhood was like, yeah, that's like Kobe jammed the ball on LeBron. Everybody was fired up how he tipped that bat. But what he does, he gets criticized for it. And baseball, want to know why it's lost in popularity? This is exactly why. Black kids don't want to play baseball because it's not fun. It's the only sport I know in America where you cannot celebrate for your accomplishments. It's ridiculous. And on top of that, they get a hangnail out 2 weeks. They only go 5 innings. They get tired on. They're a bunch of wuss. I'm sorry, Jim. Black kids in the community aren't interested in baseball anymore, and it's baseball fault. Get your head out the sand, baseball. Thanks, Jim, for listening to me. This is Smiley. I'm out.
Smiley gets it. Have a take, don't suck. Have a take, don't suck. Come in here. Get off. Smiley did. Strong take. My thanks to Paul Christ, Wisconsin head football coach. Kyle Whittingham, head football coach at Utah. Peter Berg was great back in hour number two. Film director, producer, and writer. TGIF, the grind includes Friday. Step up, finish strong. Once again, if you don't mind, after the program, hit me or Adam Hawk or both of us up on Twitter. Who do you want to hear on our podcast next week? Stephen A. Smith is up right now. He was great. Look for that.